So people, live a life that's worthy of your calling. You've been called by God. You've been given blessings. You've been given all kinds of things through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You've been given the fruit of that Spirit. So live a life of unity and grow in the miracle that God has given you.
Welcome to Beechwood Christian Church Podcast. Mark is beginning a series of sermons entitled God's Goals for His Church. Each sermon is taken from the book of Ephesians. Join us for this week's sermon entitled Grow Up, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. May God bless you as you journey this life with our Lord Jesus.
Good morning. I'm reading Ephesians 4, 1 through 16 out of the New King James Version. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love.
Amen. Thank you, Cheryl. I have loved this series taken from Ephesians because it builds upon each week as we look and we take something we've learned, and Paul just has that tendency, doesn't he? He gives a statement and then he builds on it. He gives another statement and he builds on it. And today, I've entitled this sermon, Grow Up. Grow Up. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to grow. Last week, we learned that God had given a mission to the church. Do you remember what that mission was? Anybody remember? Proclaim the wisdom of God to the rebellious angels. Remember that? We are to proclaim to the rebellious angels the wisdom of God. You know what that means? That we can't be knuckleheads. Yeah, do you know that? In fact, I have a sign right here. Because I believe at times we've lived on this street. Knucklehead Knoll, okay? Now that the Three Stooges live there, that's where I got this from, because I am a Three Stooge fan. But we can't be knuckleheads. We've got to be the church. We've got to be everything that God wants the church to be. So Paul said, number one, live a life worthy of our calling. Now, let's refresh our memories here a little bit. Paul begins this chapter by saying that he was a prisoner for the Lord. You remember that? He lived his life totally in submission to Jesus Christ. He called himself a prisoner to the Lord. Now, it is true that as he wrote this, he was in prison. But he considered himself a prisoner for the Lord. Now, Paul lived in total submission. Now, you remember from the past sermons that we've been called by God? Remember those sermons? We've been called into his many, many blessings. Isn't the blessings of God something great? Amen. The Bible says that we've been made alive in Jesus Christ. We're alive! We've been seated in the heavenly realms. Isn't that great? It's not in the future. It's now. We are seated with him in heavenly realms. God called us to share in the blessings of Israel. Now, that's not to replace Israel. He's called us to share in those blessings. We've been grafted in. Okay? And there are those of Israel that are believers in Jesus Christ, and they share in that blessing. Now, he created us to do good works. You know, next time someone comes up to you and says, boy, you're a real piece of art, say thank you. God's been working on me for a long time. And I am his masterpiece. And even if they say, is that the best he can do? Say, yes. But God is working on me. So, Paul concludes, with all these blessings, with everything that there is, live a life that's worthy of that calling, of all these blessings. Don't be a knucklehead, okay? Live a life that is worthy of his calling. And you say, how? Well, Paul lists four things about our personal lives. So number two, he lists four things about our personal life. He says, be completely humble. Now, there was a song out, you remember? Hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. You remember that? Okay. Well, I know I'm not perfect in every way. Be completely humble. That is exactly why Paul was in prison, because he was humble. You say, how can that be, Mark? Let me tell you, he thought of Christ more than himself. He was willing to go to prison in order to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. He put away his personal desires and he put Christ first. Now, you heard me say this particular passage a million times, and you'll hear me say it a million times more because it's one of my favorite passages. I hope that when I go to see the Lord and I go on past this life, that this will be said at my funeral. It's Micah 6:8. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's what God requires of us. And so the very first thing that he says is that be completely humble. You know, Jesus tried to get that across in Matthew 5:3. We call that the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, okay? It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You may remember when I first came, I gave a series of sermons on the Beatitudes. And to be blessed, or to be poor in spirit means that you will think more of others than you think of yourselves. It doesn't mean you're weak. It means that you put others first. You know, there's many selfish people in this world. Yeah, we know about that, don't we? We run across that. Boy, I tell you, just watch Black Friday and all the stuff that went on at Black Friday. Or even if it's very cold and you're trying to get a parking spot. Okay? There may be challenges in that. But you know what? Christians are to live in humility, are we not? We're ready to submit to the plan and the will of God. Completely. So how do you live a life worthy of your calling? Be completely humble. Now, live gently or meekly. We say, well, you know what that word actually means? It actually means power under control. It's power under control. That doesn't mean you're not a strong person, but you've got control. You're in control of your anger. You're in control because God is in control of you. And that makes the difference. Now, in Matthew 5:5, he said, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Now, meek means that you're controlling your anger. You're keeping that power under control. And that's something that we need to learn. It's hard for me to comprehend the meekness of Jesus being slapped, beaten, when he had the power to wipe them out. But in his meekness, he knew the will of God, and he did it. Thirdly, be patient. Is that a hard thing to do? Yes. Sometimes it is, isn't it? To learn patience. The Bible is filled with examples of people who were not patient. I mean, they didn't wait on God to act, and they got in trouble. You know, Saul gave sacrifices to God, and he wasn't supposed to. He was supposed to wait for Samuel. There's that example. He lost his kingship. Kings went into battle without inquiring from God. And they lost their battles, and some of them lost their lives. Remember Moses. Even Moses became impatient when the people grumbled, and he struck the rock twice to get that water, and he didn't enter into the promised land. Remember James and John? They wanted to call down fire from heaven to strike the Samaritans, to destroy them because of their inhospitality. A Christian who walks in patience, waiting on God until he's directed to act, is what we need. It's hard to be patient, isn't it? Sometimes it's very hard. And I see that so many times in people that are older. They're waiting to meet their Lord. And they want to see their Lord. They want to go there. But they've got to be patient and wait for the bus to come. You know, Luke 21:19 says, "By standing firm, you will gain life." Be patient. Patience takes strength. Live the Christian life by, and this number D, bearing with one another in love. Now that's how we are patient with people. We remember love. We've got to keep that in mind, love. It says bear with one another. You know, some people need a little extra grace, don't they? In fact, there's a picture that I have. And it goes like this. It has to do, EGR, extra grace required. And so we love them. You know, that annoying person? Is there someone that's annoying in your life? Huh? Everybody's got someone that's annoying in their life. Right? Every church has someone that's annoying in their life. And let me tell you something. Paul's not talking about non-Christians. He's talking about Christian people. He is. He's talking about Christian people. That's who he's addressing. This is the same quality that God has for you and had for you before you were a Christian. God is still very patient with you, isn't he? He is with me. And there's time I marvel at the patience of God with me. We need to be loving. We need to be understanding with one another. And thirdly, I want us to take a look at the unity. Because all of these things, all of these qualities will bring about a unity. Now, it's quite obvious that if we lived in humbleness and if we lived in meekness and if we lived in patience and we would be forbearing with one another, that we would have this unity. In fact, these qualities that Paul names here are really the fruit of the Spirit. Isn't that interesting? So Paul is telling us to walk in the Spirit of God, to allow God's Spirit to change us, to mold us, to make that piece of art that he wants to make with us. Look at Galatians 5:22 through 26. The fruit of the Spirit is love. We talked about love. Joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, did you catch that? Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. And here we have the early church. We have the unity of the Spirit. You see, there was one body, wasn't there? There was one church. That was it. God's church. There was one Holy Spirit that filled everyone. There was one hope, the resurrection. There's one Lord. There was one faith that we believed in. And there was one baptism. And I do have to mention that, because that baptism was immersion. But men have changed that. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God, one Father over all. Now, that foundation was given by the apostles, by the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And it was given so that unity could remain. God has given, people, God has given the church everything we need. He really has. He's given us everything to accomplish the task that he wants us to have. In fact, you could say that he gave us this picture right here. You know what that is, don't you? Miracle-Gro. He's given us his Holy Spirit that will grow and teach us and lead us and help us in life. Miracle-Gro. Now, I don't recommend eating it, okay? But I do recommend eating the Word of God and God's Holy Spirit to help us. We need that help. Boy, I cannot go through this life by myself. It gets too hard, people. It's too hard. I need brothers and sisters in Jesus to help me. I need God's Word to help me. I need His Holy Spirit to just tell me, come on, keep going. Empower me, help me, make me strong. And so the purpose of your growth, people, why are you growing? in Christ. The purpose of your growth is to prepare God's people for works of service. You know, if we don't have God's Spirit, we're just going to be tossed around, boing, 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 like the game of Pong, back and forth, by every wind of doctrine. We need God's Word and God's Spirit. And we need to be prepared for works of service. That's why God's blessed you. He's blessed you for works of service. You believe that? Amen. No, President John F. Kennedy once said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country." You know, that ought to be the attitude of every Christian person. You know? What can I do for the kingdom? What can I do for the kingdom of God? The church needs to understand that principle, and unfortunately, we're losing that attitude in our society. We want to be served rather than serve. And if we look at Ephesians 4, 11 through 12, God gave us all of our tools. He said, "So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up." One of the very first churches that I was in the pulpit, we called each other equipping ministers, because we viewed that was our purpose in that church, was to equip others for the work of the kingdom. We grow in Christ in order to serve. And if we don't grow, we can be tossed, we can be thrown here and there. Let's grow to serve. You know, a while back, there was a talk show on, and a guest was a bodybuilder. Yeah. And he was a bodybuilder. During the interview, the host asked, "Well, why do you develop those particular muscles?" The bodybuilder stepped forward, and he flexed his muscles. Well-defined. From his chest to the calf. And the audience, they applauded. Great. "So, what do you use all those muscles for?" he asked again. And again, he flexed. His biceps, his triceps. Impressive. "But, what do you use those for?" And the bodybuilder was bewildered. He didn't have an answer for that display, his well-developed frame. But I'm reminded that sometimes as Christians, we have our spiritual exercises, our Bible study, our prayer, reading Christian books, listening to Christian radio and tapes. And they're for that purpose, but they're meant to strengthen us, our ability, in order to build God's kingdom. What good is it if we don't use it? So people, live a life that's worthy of your calling. You've been called by God. You've been given blessings. You've been given all kinds of things through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You've been given the fruit of that Spirit. So live a life of unity and grow in the miracle that God has given you. The miracle grow in order to serve our Lord and to give Him honor and to proclaim to the rebellious angels the wisdom and grace of God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. Feel free to visit us on our webpage at www.beechwoodchristian.org or come and worship with us. Services at Beechwood Christian Church are located at 12950 Easton Street, Northeast, in Alliance, Ohio. Sunday morning worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Sunday school for all ages is at 9:30 a.m. We'd love to have you come. May God bless you and your family, and may we look to Jesus as we journey through this life.